Okay, we now have Martha Jones, and she's going to be presenting on workers' compensation denominators, full-time equivalent employees. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you very much for coming and having me as a speaker here. I'm currently teaching economics at the Center for Medicine, Health, and Society in Vanderbilt University. And what I'm going to be talking about today is creating incidence rates using workers' comp data. And many states would like to do this. They collect the workers' comp claims, but they do not collect hours worked, which is what you ideally would like to have an FTE denominator. So the research questions that I've been working on now for about a decade, one is for states that don't collect hours worked from their employers, what's the best data source and calculation method for an FTE denominator? And then the second question is, what issues arise as workers' comp claim data, the numerator, is linked to employment data to the FTE denominator. So today I'm going to be talking more about the second bullet. The first bullet, we're working on a white paper with some NIOSH researchers, and that'll be out in the fall. So we're going to talk more about the second bullet today. What was really exciting to me was when sort of NIOSH sort of picked up this issue and has been helping states to create these incidence rates. I was the research manager for the California Department of Division of Workers' Comp for quite a while. I started working on this when I was there in 2007, and when I left, this was one of the projects I thought was going to, you know, fall by the wayside. So it was really exciting that when I found other states are interested and, you know, NIOSH is going forward on helping states to do this. So states would like to calculate these rates, but there are different ways to come up with an FTE denominator, and so they also needs to be some thought as to which data source to use and how to calculate the denominator. NIOSH is giving grants to states for this project. California and Massachusetts have now been funded. There'll be two more states funded in fiscal year 17 and then others in fiscal year 18. And to do this work, you need to have, usually for most states, you need cooperation between a health department, the labor department, where the employment data are, and the workers' comp people. So that can be a challenge in some states. States that have already worked a lot on this, California, Massachusetts, I already mentioned, the state of Washington, which of course does collect hours worked, and probably most of what I say here isn't going to pertain to them because they don't have all these problems. Florida is actually, I found out here at CSTE, there's going to be a presentation tonight at 5:45. They're doing rates just for their amputation claims, but if you're interested, you might want to go to that roundtable. And then Ohio has been working with NIOSH for the past several years on this project. So quick background on incidence rates. It's basically workers' comp claims in the numerator divided by FTE employees, and that calculation is basically hours worked divided by 2,000, and you get 2,000 hours by assuming 40 hours a week and 50 weeks a year of working. And this is what the BLS uses in their incidence rates. I'm going to just be thinking about two different ways to calculate FTE denominators. There are more. One is just this unadjusted way that I just talked about. You take hours worked by industry and you divide by 2,000 and you'll get your FTE employees. The second way to do it is to take employee counts from either UI records or QCEW or some sort of employment data source and adjust them using survey data. You can calculate FTEs and employee counts and then adjust your employment counts from your UI data with survey data. So the data sources for this are for the employment counts, UI data, which is by employer, or you can use QCEW data, which is published by industry, by the BLS. And then there's a variety of different survey data sources, the American Community Survey, the CPS, the CES, and the last one, labor productivity and cost data, which is used for industry productivity measures by the BLS. And that data source is only available on a national level, not state. So what I'm going to do here is just go through some issues to consider when you're calculating these rates. And I'm going to be using Ohio, California, and Massachusetts as examples. The Ohio information here is from a draft paper that the Ohio Bureau of Workers' Comp and NIOSH have submitted to an academic journal. And in some cases, I'll just point out issues that you'd need to think about if your state wanted to do this. In other cases, I'll give you specific examples from these three states as to how they're doing it. So we're going to think about linking these workers' comp data to employment data. We'll think about calculating raw rates, in other words, workers' comp claims over just employee counts, not FTE. We'll think about how about excluding outliers. Think about a little bit how to calculate FTE denominators, then whether or not you want to pool single-location employer with multi-location employers, and then finally, how to think about ranking industries, because what we're trying to do here is identify high-risk industries. So what level analysis would you want to do? Again, the QCEW data are publicly available, which is the big advantage. They're available by industry. And obtaining UI data at the employer level can be very complicated depending on your state. You usually need an interagency agreement between workers' comp and the labor department. Ohio, for example, they basically couldn't use QCEW data because they decided to exclude self-insured employers, and you can't get that, you can't get those employers out of the UI data. Out of the QCEW data, sorry. So they needed to go down to the employer level and do it that way. Are you going to look at both public and private employers, or just private, or just public? The point is, linking for public employers can be quite complicated. They're large. They often have multi-locations. They have multi-functions for the same employer, so you're going to get different NAICS codes for the same employer. It's a lot more complicated than private employers. So Ohio decided, for example, to only look at private state-insured employer data. So they're a state-based system like Washington. So how about linking? Well, Ohio linked its workers' comp claims with employment data using their employer FAIN. They have really good employer FAIN data, 90% deterministic exact match. 10% of the policies didn't link. They tried a secondary match using employer name, but that's quite complicated. They're standardized in different ways in different databases, and so they decided to exclude those 10% from the analysis. Massachusetts linking. They looked at the key elements used to be, that they thought would be used in linking: FAIN, employer name, mailing address, et cetera. Their FAIN was available for about half of their claims. So they're also working hard on matching by name, which is a project in itself. They currently are using a deterministic match, but later plan to look at probabilistic linkage as well. One innovation is that they do plan to calculate sub-state level rates. And I should say that the Massachusetts and California data is kind of preliminary. Ohio has been working on this for a longer time. California has a quite different approach. It's a two-step linking strategy. They're going to start with the employee, and they're going to match on SSN to the Employment Development Department's base wage file, which is basically UI records by employee. And from that file, they'll get it on an employer account number, which is sort of like the state FAIN, the state employer number. And then they'll take that state employer number and match it to employment data to obtain the NAICS codes and employee counts by employer. One of the reasons this is being done is because of the lack of good quality of their FAIN data, but also this method has been used in California for over a decade, not to do incidence rates, but for our permanent disability rating schedule wage loss study that was done both by the DWC and also by RAND. So we have these, I keep saying we like I'm still at California, but anyway, sorry, folks from California, slip of the tongue. Yeah, so that's what they're going to do. And lots of the programming and stuff has already been done for that. One issue, if you're linking on person, is that you have to think about people with multiple jobs that are going to link to multiple employers, so you have to be able to identify the ad injury employer. That's one thing you have to think about. Also, they will be reporting out their results and everything just by industry, although the linkage is done at the employer level. They're not going to go back to employers or publish anything by employer or anything like that. Another thing to think about is if you're in a state with non-compliance with reporting of workers' comp claims, if you know there are certain employers who are not reporting their claims or certain claims administrators, you know that those folks, the claims aren't going to be in the numerator, so maybe you want to adjust the denominator as well. How would you know that? Well, in California, for instance, they have an audit unit that, so you have a second source of information about reporting, or perhaps you just want to calculate rates for your lost time claims, and you know that some employers are reporting the first report of injury, but they're not reporting anything about lost time. So, and anyway, this is something, it's a complicated issue because you want to make sure that if there's nothing reported for the numerator, it's not a true zero. But anyway, it's something to think about. And in states without strong penalties, you're going to have probably more of a problem with this because you'll have less good reporting. How about obtaining a unique NAICS code per employer? Well, if you have many carriers reporting NAICS codes with their claims to the state, that's one source of NAICS codes. Then when you link to your employment data, you're going to get a second set of NAICS codes, and maybe they'll match, which would be nice, but if they don't, you're going to have to come up with some sort of algorithm to think about which one you're going to use. How about these multi-location employers? If they have different NAICS codes, what are you going to do? Well, this is the rule set used by Ohio. They determined the six-digit NAICS code with at least 75% of the employees for a given employer across locations. That was true for about 85% of their claims. Then they went down to the three-digit level, which gave them another 5%. And then they just took the NAICS code with the most employees for a given employer. And in the end, they decided to only accept the 90% with rule one and two. So they, again, threw out 10% of the claims. How about across time? So for a same employer, if you have different NAICS codes reported across time. Well, if you have all four quarters the same in the calendar year, that's great. These are Ohio's rules. If you had three the same, and one different, they took the three, whatever was reported three times. If it was a tie, the final quarter was selected, and there were 0.5% where they couldn't determine the NAICS codes. Why might you have missing data here? Well, it could be failure to report, but it could also be like seasonal business. It could also be, the birth and death of companies during a year. There are just lots of reasons, and you don't know why it's missing. How about temporary workers? Well, OSHA has rules about reporting on the OSHA log, which basically has to do with the supervision of the workers. And in most cases, you're going to end up with the host employer being responsible for reporting the occupational injury and illness of temporary workers. Ohio has a different rule. In Ohio, the workers' comp injuries for temporary employees are listed under the temporary agency employer. That's their rule. I know for a fact this rule is not the case in California, and I'm sure different states are different here, too. So that's another thing to think about. So just a brief table of some of the differences here. On the left-hand side, whether or not you're doing private and public or employees, Ohio and Massachusetts are both looking at private at the moment, and California intends to look at both. Whether you're looking at an insured and or self-insured, Ohio is looking at state insured only. California and Massachusetts are looking at both. Single and or multiple location, all of them are looking at both. The date, so Ohio's analysis goes from 2001 to 2011. Whereas California and Massachusetts basically just got their data, and California is starting to look at the first two quarters of 2015. They will be getting more data and adding on, and Massachusetts looked at a year and a half. Data sources, Ohio has both claims and policy data, whereas California and Massachusetts both have only claim data. What type of claims you look at, California and Ohio are looking at both medical only and lost time claims, whereas Massachusetts is just looking at lost time. And then the TD waiting period differs across the state. So this is just to kind of, you know, point out the variety across states of what they're doing and what they can do with the data they have, et cetera. So how about calculating raw frequency counts and rate computations per employee? Well, first of all, for multi-location employers, you have to add up the number of employees across locations. And then to get the raw rates for claims, you're just going to add up the number of claims over the quarters. And for the denominator, for the average, you just average the number of employees in each quarter and use that as your denominator. How about at outliers? Well, this is kind of based on Ohio. They develop threshold rates for classification as an outlier and exclusion from the rate computations. They didn't exclude things from frequency counts. These thresholds differed by employer size, and I'm not going to go through all their different thresholds here, too much detail, but at the two-digit NAICS level, about 99% of their employer-level claim rates were less than one claim per employee per year. And then for the ones that had more really high, unusually high claim rates, they found it was mostly small employers, which is not surprising. They looked whether it was a consistent pattern over time of a high rate, and they looked at whether it was in a high-risk industry group, and in general it was. So this also resulted in excluding a few claims. The FTE denominator, well, if you take survey data and divide by 2,000, that's our method one, our unadjusted method. If you're going to be adjusting employee counts using the survey adjustment factor, you will need to decide whether you want to use your state data or whether you want to use the national data. If you're going to use state data and you're a small state, you know, you might want to aggregate over time, a couple years to get your margins of error down, or you might want to add, you know, geographically with another state or look at census division or something like that. I've sort of found that most states want to aggregate their own stuff over time. They don't want to aggregate with some other state. Anyway, Ohio, this is what they did. They used the adjusted FTE method. They took their employee data from UI data on the employer level, and they used national LPC data at the four-digit NAICS industry level for their adjustment factor. Thinking about whether or not you want to include both single and multiple location employers in your study, we already talked about how the NAICS codes are kind of assigned differently. So that's one thing to think about. Also, if you're adding a whole lot of establishments that are really small, but you're adding a whole bunch of them together, so it might make it an employer look like they're a big employer when actually they act more like a small employer. Anyway, bottom line, after thinking a lot about this, Ohio decided to include both. And then finally, industry comparison methods. So how are you going to identify industries that are high risk? So Ohio used the average of rank orders of workers' comp claim counts and claim rates. This is the prevention index popularized by Ohio and used in many studies. I want to ask yourself whether you want to include all industries or just those with a minimum number of FTEs, for instance. So what Ohio decided was to include industry groups with employees reported in 7 or more years with greater than or equal to 55 claims and greater than or equal to 100 FTE. And that resulted in 240 industries at the four-digit NAICS level. So this is just a quick example. You know, you take the claims rate per FTE by NAICS code, sort them, so you get your rate rank for claims. Then you do the same thing with the number of claims, sort them, and you get a count rank. And then you add up those two ranks, And then you sort by those, and that gives you your prevention, the rank of your prevention index. So, and then finally, this was talked about yesterday, but there will be, there's planned to be anyway, a meeting in December, on December 8th, and this topic will probably be discussed about workers' comp denominators, and the white paper that I mentioned will be discussed at that point. And also OSHA's releasing final rules that should help in reporting. And lots of acknowledgments, lots of people have worked on this. And thank you very much.